Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Namtak Network. I am your host for the evening, Jordan Orozco, and we are doing basic binges per the huge and our season finale of our wonderful show, Fallout, which I'm so excited to talk about because these last two episodes really encapsulated everything that happened in this entire season. We've been on this long journey, and it's been wonderful and amazing. So I'm more than happy to discuss what's going on. But before we get into all of that, I want to introduce my guests for the evening. Let's give a round of applause and a wonderful hello to Ren, Yaya, and Mikey. Good to see you all. I'm so happy that the original squad of the Wasteland is back to discuss the last two episodes of all of this. On this show, we review popular shows while eating and drinking our binge-worthy snacks and drinks. If you're watching live, don't forget to redeem those channel points. Please be nice with those. And right now, I just finished my drink on pre-show, or sorry, my food on pre-show because I was like super hungry. So I had two beef kebabs with a wonderful little side of hummus and a wonderful little side of yellow rice. And it was wonderful, delicious, and amazing. And I have my Rad Roach cocktail here, which is just basically a Cutwater Tiki Hurricane. So it's wonderful. Let's move on to Ren because you have a wonderful little black cat in your little picture, little video. I love it. What are you nomming on? What are you chomping on?
Right now, I have Sun Chips, the salsa kind, and I'm drinking Pure Leaf raspberry flavor because I have to get up early tomorrow.
I love the garden salsa of the Sun Chips.
It's so
That is like
good.
the best. It's the best. It's totally the best. Let's move on to you, Yaya. What are you nomming on? What are you chomping on? I know you just got off stream, so
Yeah, oh my gosh,
what's going on?
I was rushing. I was like, we're playing Lethal, and it was just so much fun. Anyways, but I have some bún, some Vietnamese vermicelli with some nem nung and some homegrown pea sprouts. Super good. And I am drinking Monster because we are finding out who the true monsters are.
I love that. I love that. Also, can I come over when
Nice.
we stream? Because you have the best fucking food
Dude,
ever.
you're welcome to come over whenever. Like, yeah,
I
just let
love
me know. He's like,
it.
I don't have to
Wow.
make food. Excellent.
Oh, great. I love it. And last but not least, Mikey, what are you nomming on? What are you chomping on for the evening?
I just finished up some donuts and I'm having a little iced tea here.
I love
Not
it.
a
What?
dinner, but it's a good snack. I'm gonna eat later on.
It's a,
So
it's
it
a
can be
girl dinner.
dinner.
We love
Yeah,
it.
it's
It's
girl
girl
dinner.
dinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's girl dinner.
What kind of donuts?
I had the chocolate and the glazed.
Oh my God. I love
Very
it.
boring.
I freaking, oh, no, I love it. Like, sounds so good right now.
Hey, if they did
Yeah.
the classics right, then
Yeah, they do the classic, right? So that's all that matters.
Right.
Perfection. That's all that
Right.
matters.
Period. So tonight we are talking about episode 7 and 8 of the last episodes of season one of Fallout on Prime Video. Also, before we get into the nitty-gritty, don't forget that we are still fundraising for the Trevor Project. If you don't know what the Trevor Project is, it is a wonderful, beautiful organization that raises funds for youth committing suicide because they are queer or LGBTQ plus identified. Please donate to them. They are doing wonderful and amazing work across this entire nation. So just wanted to let you all know. All right. Let's get into this because there is a lot that gets freaking revealed in these last two episodes. So I think the direction we should go is by character through each of the two episodes. So let's start with Lucy and Maximus. In the beginning of episode 7, Lucy and Maximus are thrusted into Vault 4, which they don't know where they're at. They don't know what's going on. Then they sort of start to see that something's going on with Vault 4. Like the Overseer has one eye, he's a Cyclops. There's some other people in this vault that have like an extra nose or an extra mouth or an extra ear, right? And they're kind of weirded out in a way. However, they are super welcoming, super nice, super amazing people. They give Maximus his own little vault room where he is just like immersed in this world. Where he has been harshly treated in the surface world, but then now in a vault, as promised by Lucy, he's being taken care of. There's this like huge world, and we love it. Lucy is sort of suspicious about what's going on in this vault. She is like, I don't know if I can trust these people, but also like they are also sort of in her culture, right? Where like these vault people are like, hey, welcome, let's do it. Long story short, by the going through this episode, we find that Lucy discovers that in this vault, the historical context is that this was a vault that was experimenting on humans and other sort of like animals that were going on. She is told not to go to level 12, but goes to level 12 and discovers that there are pregnant women in like cryospheres that like we sort of see. She sees a video of like a woman giving birth to all of these fishes and then eats like, and then the fish eats her, right? She gets apprehended, and then Maximus sort of sees this going on. Long story short, these people in this vault have a weird cult-like culture going on, especially when it comes to Moldiver, when we see that sort of later on in the episode when they escape. Maximus discovers that this vault has a fusion core, which, if you've played any of the games, is crucial to powering any of the power armors up. The one thing that differentiates this one from the games is that this fusion core powers the entire vault, as to where when you get a fusion core in the game, it doesn't power anything. It just powers like a weird machine. Eventually, Lucy is set free by this cult because that's how they run things. Maximus is also powers up the power armor with their fusion core. They get out. Lucy convinces Maximus that like this is not the way to go. You need to give back their power core, otherwise this whole community is going to die. So they give back the power core, and that is sort of like their end capsule to the end of episode 7. Let's talk about this relationship. We sort of see also the romantic part of like this weird rushed like romanticism of these two characters, which I didn't buy. I didn't like really believe in it. I didn't really see it, right? Like in these last two episodes. So let's talk about this relationship. Let's start with you, Mikey. What did you think about the Lucy Maximus dynamic, and what did you think about Vault 4?
I thought it was really interesting that, like, in this episode, previously before this, you would think that Maximus was the one that was taking care of Lucy, but in this one, it was basically, I mean, he does it at the end, kind of help her out, but I mean, I think in this one, she's kind of looking out for him, and I think that was like, kind of cool, because this is her vault, this is like she, this is her wheelhouse, like the vault is something she knows, so she was like telling him like, oh yeah, you'll love it here. This is what this is basically, the best place ever and stuff like that. But then she realizes that there is something going on in the vault, and then the audience, we all realize that all these vaults, there's probably something wrong with all of them, because we see that in her store, in her old vault, there's something wrong, there's something going on in here. And so you're kind of like, you're watching these two, like when Maximus is getting comfortable in the vault, you're like, oh, not what Lucy made it out to be. Like, it's probably just as worse as what he was going through up there. So I like the kind of like it kind of turns everything on its end for like the viewer. It's like you think, oh yeah, they're gonna be okay, they're in a vault. No, they're not. There's something going on with probably all the vaults. So I think and the realization that Lucy has that, like, oh, so she was wrong about this. What is she wrong? What else is she wrong about? Is she wrong about a lot of the other things, that all the things that she was told about, when she was growing up in the vault? So I think this is a really good episode in that the characters grow a lot, and they get to the point where they need to be at the end of the series. It would be boring if the characters didn't grow. You wouldn't like it. So the thing that this show does well is that there's definitely a progression. There's definitely a story arc. The characters go through an arc, and they grow and they evolve. And I think this the most growth, well, not the most, but like a lot of growth happens in this episode. So I think that was very beneficial to this whole story.
Yeah, I definitely agree with your with the premise behind all the vaults, right? Like I said this in our last stream, where it's like we know people that have played the games, people that have sort of like delved into Fallout is like all of the vaults, except for a very exceptional few, were experiments, right? Like they were like, if you visit any of them in the games, you can like go into the computer and find out, right? Like that there is something significantly wrong with all of the vaults. Like they were experimental, right? Like in Fallout 4, like the main character, the vault dweller, as yourself, you realize that this was an experiment on being frozen, right? Like and how that has an effect on the human body, just like in general, right? And so it's very interesting to see sort of that playing out, right? And especially moving on to like episode 8, like we see how like just how horrible, right? Like Vault-Tec is, right? Let's go to you, Yaya. Also Cue Ball in the chat. Sorry, I lost the chat. Oh, Cue Ball says hi, Yaya. Hi everyone, good to see you. He also redeemed Bite. So whatever you're like chomping on or nom nom, we can do that. Q, I already ate my food, so I'm just gonna bite my drink. I don't know how that works, but
Nomtalk
we're gonna.
also redeemed Hydrate.
Oh God, double
I get
shot. Okay,
that.
here we go.
Yep.
We love that. Yes, so let's go to or let's go to you, Yaya. I know you just took a chop of your food, sorry, but what did you think about this episode? What did you think about the dynamic between Maximus and Lucy?
I'm loving how this show, because like usually when you see like shows like this, you already have like a trope in your head. You're like, oh, it's gonna go like this. This show just throws you for a loop. The fact that like when they like capture her, they're like, oh, you're like you expected like they're gonna try to kill her because like that's what cults do. No, they're like, oh, we're gonna set you free. Here's like all the things that you'll need. And she's like, you're not gonna kill me. They're like, no, there's worse than what we can do. And it's like, it just throws you for the loop. Same thing with like Lucy. And I agree with Mikey when he says like this episode is a lot about growth. Like I originally expected it to be like, oh, it was Maximus that was going to be like very suspicious about everything and learning about Vault 4. And he has to be the one to convince Lucy. And Lucy's growth would be about like, oh, how like, oh, maybe like, like her like perfect vision of vault life is shattered or something like that. But no, it's Lucy that actually is the more active role in this episode in like in the progression. And I love that. I really love how this show just takes all of the normal tropes and be like, ha, you thought. No. So it's like, I love it. I agree. I'm like the dynamic between Lucy and Maximus does not work for me. They have no CP whatsoever. It's like I understand Maximus needing like a home, needing like a family, needing like he needs a community because his community is not very healthy. It's very like he's it's like they're all pitted against each other in order to become a an aspirant or like a squire. Everyone is against each other. And so what he does need is the vault community in order to heal. But I don't think that he needed to heal with Lucy as a romantic partner. I feel like if they were more as a family, like he's like her missing family piece, a piece of community, I can see it better, but not as a romance. Like I'm like they could be really good like friends with benefits, but that's it. Like they could be the cut playing with cousins kind of thing, but not the marriage kind of thing.
Cousins.
We have
Yeah,
rules about
cousins.
those. We have
Cousins.
rules.
Cousin stuff.
Cousin stuff. So yeah, so I'm not as like it's I'm I don't really believe the chemistry between them. I think they're really cute together as friends or as like, oh, like your survival buddies. When you're in a situation like that, you do latch on emotionally to the person you're trying to survive with. That is realistic. That is like that. But romantic for me was kind of but yeah. I love Vault 4 though. I know. I love how like that he was all like the Goldberg. He's all like, that was my great uncle. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. So I'm like, oh wait, so did Maximus kill your great uncle? Like, is that the Goldberg we saw that blah, his guts out? Sorry.
And some of the details that I forgot is their stories in this episode sort of clash intertwined with Thaddeus, who was the squire for Maximus, which that whole fucking story is
I'm
hilarious.
so happy that the witch doctor actually.
Me too. Yeah, like I didn't
My
know what was
God.
going. Yeah, I didn't know what was
Oh,
going on until the end. But it's important to know that their stories intertwine. Like, so just to Ren, before we get to you, just briefly, Thaddeus basically has the head. He has the dog. He leaves the dog at a rocket sort of a place, which in the game makes sense because that's where you discover in
Fine.
Fallout 4 your companion, which I've lost my companion as I'm playing through my current thing. I don't know where the fuck the dog is. Who
You
cares?
lost dog meat?
You lost
I
dog
lost
meat?
dog meat.
How?
I don't know where dog meat is. So
How?
I was on the fucking Brotherhood like airship, and
Yeah.
then I was like, go home, dog meat, because the hot like the hot like muscle like guy
Paladin
with the
dance?
yeah, I was
Paladin
like,
dance?
hey, join me, and then I was like, dog meat, go home, and then I lost dog meat. I don't know where dog meat's
Is
at.
not he not at the settlements? Any of your
No, I
settlements?
went. I've
Wow.
been to
All
all
of
of
your
them.
settlements?
Yes. It's a glitch in the matrix, man. So
You lost
anyway,
dog meat.
sad.
I did. You know, I miss dog meat, but also like Paladin Dance is like,
You know, I get it. That's me with John Hancock, so.
Yeah, right.
Or Nick
Anyway,
Valentine.
long story short, Thaddeus basically his foot is broken because before he took the power core out of the power armor with Maximus in it, Maximus stepped on his foot. He finds out that his foot is fucking rotting. It's fucking falling off. When we see
Oh,
that shit, it's
yeah.
disgusto. Long story short, he meets a witch doctor in the wasteland who basically gives him a cure. And then we find out later in this episode that, like, basically he becomes a ghoul with that cure. And that's when Lucy, Maximus, and all of them meet up. Maximus, of course, is a good person, he's a good dude. He basically takes a fake head and gives Lucy the real head to head to where Moldaver's at, and then we're separated from that. Anyway, I forgot that part because there's so much that's going on. Ren, what do you think about the dynamic between Lucy and Maximus? Also, what do you think about this whole episode and the story arc between them?
I think it's like a good example of how they're able to have multiple stories happening in the same episode, over like intertwining but not overlapping. Like one doesn't overshadow the other. 'Cause you have what's happening to Lucy, what's happening to Thaddeus, like it's all important in its own way. I feel like that was probably a strategic move on their part for a storytelling. One, because like it's only 8 episodes. You can only do so much, I guess. And then in a way to like, I wouldn't say save time, but preserve the integrity of the story. Maybe they just kept, they left it like that way so that you can get the full feel of season one. That like prepares you for season two. I did find it funny when Thaddeus turned into a ghoul. It was
Yeah.
first that foot was really disgusting. I don't know why
Oh,
he was
yeah. It was
surprised.
so
Why was he
gross. Yeah,
surprised?
it was gross.
Like, sir, you got stepped on by a metal thing. Why are you looking surprised and be like, oh, my foot's falling off? Like, yeah. The only reason it hasn't fallen off is because the shoe's there.
Yeah. How could he walk? That's crazy.
Literally, like, how did you get there anyway to begin with?
Yeah.
I'm not
I'm
gonna lie,
like.
I'd rather die before I drink whatever is coming out of that witch doctor. No, this...
Especially that he likes to have happy fun times with chickens, apparently.
yeah, I'm like, no, this is it. It's time for the
Way to
big
put
nap.
it.
But I kind of liked it. It went back to the witch doctor because, like, you know, when Wilsig lost his foot, he was saying that, oh, medicine to regrow your feet. And we, at that point, we think that, oh, he's just
It's just
BSing.
crazy.
He's
Nope.
BS. Yeah, he just wants to make some calves. But it turns out he
Yeah.
did actually have medicine to grow back your feet. So it's
Just
like,
didn't say
yeah, it
what
just has
kind of
consequences.
medicine.
Yeah.
Right.
It has consequences.
And I have to, I think it was the same one that Coop takes in order for him to still be cognizant
Oh, you think
of
so?
what's,
I think
Maybe.
so.
You think so? I was like,
Because when Coop gets like shot or anything like that, like he regenerates, but he still has to take that in order for him to be coherent as a person, right? Because
Maybe.
like in the previous episodes, like especially when he gives Lucy up to those people that like harvest organs and
Yeah.
then she comes out and it's like, yeah, this like golden rule motherfucker, and like
Yeah.
hands him all this, like I think it was the same medicine.
But I thought like the fan like thing for that one is Rataway. I think
Yeah,
that's
my partner
the
thought it was
fan.
Rataway too.
Because
Oh.
it's also like when you seen the first episode, it's in the little
Yeah.
baggies.
Yeah.
So, but it because like if it were Rataway, it wouldn't be Rataway because we take Rataway to get
Yeah.
rid of rats. Because like the and because all the at the same time, I personally don't think so. Because like in order for him to not go feral, which that's what the thing is for, you need something to like stay away the radiation while this one seems like it's giving you radiation. So they would do the opposite. It would make probably a ghoul go feral faster.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I don't know. I
I
saw
think
it
it's
and I
the I
was
think it's
like,
the inhaler. The inhaler just
yeah.
kind of looks this it's not
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have also been
I
like,
lost that the inhaler. I was like, all right, asthma,
yeah.
got it.
It could have also been like Jet. It could have also been like some weird drug, right? But also it was something that he concocted to do that.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
okay. So God, there's so much fun.
I know.
I want to get to Coop's fucking story because this is the main attraction
Listen,
for the
I'm gonna
seventh and
fight
eighth
his
episode.
wife
Man.
yeah
So
right
in
here, right now.
in the seventh episode, we sort of see Coop back before the bombs dropped, meet Moldaver, right? Because of his friend who has this like bird's eye view, but also a very specific scope view of why Vault-Tec is bad. And it's because she had a company where she was developing, where we find out in episode eight, this cold fusion sort of energy source, where it's an unlimited energy source that can happen, right? Vault-Tec bought her company out and basically stole her own technology. And now she's like, fuck that shit. Everybody needs to be against Vault-Tec. He goes to a thing and she's like, nah, fuck that, because a Coop is like, fuck that. My wife like works in Vault-Tec, blah, blah, blah. Basically, Moldaver convinces, like, kind of convinces Coop that like your wife is not who she says she is, right? Like, and this whole company is not
She
who,
plants the
and
seed of
he,
doubt.
yes. And I love that. I love that for them. Basically gives him a snooping device, which is like a little thing that she can connect, that he can connect to a Pip Boy and like hear what's going on, right? So we get that in this episode. We get sort of like the seeds of doubt. And then as we see Coop going on, which is what I loved, we get sort of like a cameo when he's trying to get information from that family about like where is Moldaver. What was his name? I can't remember, but the dad, fucking, oh God.
Oh, Eric Estrada?
Yes, Eric Estrada. We
Yeah.
get Eric Estrada and like a like and in this episode we get like Eric Estrada, we get not Will, Armisen, what's his name as the DJ?
Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen as the DJ. We get so many cameos in this and I love it.
Yeah.
But specifically in this, he's looking for Moldaver. He basically asks the son, who he knows has a connection to the brother who joined sort of like the Moldaver, you know, thing. And we find out that Moldaver is held up in the observatory, which is basically Griffith Park Observatory, which I loved in this. I loved it. Basically, he is reminiscing on everything. He finds the dog at the rocket gas station. He takes him. Coop basically has flashbacks to all of these things that happen, and everything that goes on sort of with his wife and with what's going on. Coop basically ends up going on the trail to find Moldaver, right? Let's sort of leak into episode eight. I loved this whole story arc. I think this was my favorite Coop story arc in the entire sort of like series where we have 7 and 8, where we basically learn and we sort of culminate the fact that like he learns that his wife is a part of a small sort of like thing where all of the corporations are in on it, right? And Vol-Tec is like, we're running the ship, but we want you to do this shit, right? He basically finds out that his wife suggests that Vol-Tec is the one that drops the bombs, which was a huge pivotal thing. And I was like, I was with you until that. But basically, they are willing to sell vaults to these companies in order to run certain experiments when it comes to humanity. Coop is devastated, and then we get another freaking bomb where there's somebody that wants to meet him, and it is Lucy's dad, right? Like young Lucy's dad, right? Not to mention that Norm is finding out, especially in episode 7, who is Lucy's brother, that something's not right with these vaults 3, 31, 32, and 33. And he finds out that basically every overseer that has ever been a part of 33 has been a part of 31. And he starts to question it. Meanwhile, his friend, who is now partners with,
Stephanie?
yeah,
I passed
Stephanie and
lady. So Chet.
Chet and Stephanie.
Chet and Stephanie, yeah, like they're partners are doing all that. He does not want anything to do with Norman, right? With Norm and all that stuff. So Norman basically discovers that there is another Vault 31 where he impersonates on a computer that he is the overseer and that he's been compromised, so he's been invited to Vault 31. Basically, he finds out that Vault 31 is empty, and there's like a little brain sort of like Roomba that's running around, who's like
Come
running the whole
closer.
thing. Yes, which I thought was so hilarious. I'm like, this is freaking awesome, right? And so all of that sort of happens. He then basically, Norm basically finds out that this vault was specifically made for people that were involved in this entire operation, that before the bombs dropped, that they were guaranteed that their lineage, that their, all of that would be encapsulated in this vault, and they would be let out depending on what time it was, how they could breed, how they could raise another generation of
Of
people.
managers.
Yes, of managers.
Corporate
Yeah.
managers.
Oh my God, terrible. Oh, please. And it was definitely a bombshell, right? So let's deal with that first. Let's talk about Coop's story. Let's talk about how this all played out. We're not talking about when the attack on the observatory happened yet. But let's talk about this whole lead up until then. Let's start with you, Yaya. What did you think about this?
Oh my God.
Girl, spill the tea.
First of all, I like how when Coop, because before Coop didn't was very indifferent to, well, four, it was CX-404, the dog. And then so like, because he was like, it's not my dog, he leaves the dog behind. But here, now we see that we see Coop coming out because he's the one that gives Dog Meat's name. He's the first one to call Dog Meat, if I remember correctly. I love how it kind of goes back. Like he starts all of this because they wouldn't let this dog in. And that's when he starts being all
As he
like
should have, as
as
he
he
should have.
should. So I love, and he actually says it like, he comments to Dog Meat like, oh, you're not him. He's like, this is not his dog, but it's kind of circling around. And I kind of love that we're finally seeing definitely more of Coop in the ghoul than of wondering why Coop turned into the ghoul. Because there's, yeah, and I love that. And I'm just like, oh, daddy. Anyway, sorry. Today's gonna be even worse, guys. Heads up. Today's
No,
gonna be
we
even
love it.
worse.
We love it.
But yeah, no. Okay, me trying to get off the Coop train. My brain's still stuck on Coop right now. I was reading Coop fan fiction earlier.
Did
I found some. I found some, and they're really
they add
good.
more?
Oh my God, yeah. And there's one that there's a threesome with John Hancock, and that's like my dream. And I'm like,
Live your dreams.
I know, my dream.
Get it, girl.
Anyways, but dude, legit, like, because throughout this whole time, you're like really, you're kind of really hoping for Coop and Barb's like marriage because they seem so, they work well together. He's a loving husband. She's a very support, like, she supports like her husband's like, work and like stuff. He like, even though he like, she uses him to help Voltec, but she's like, oh, this can still help. You think like they're perfect. And so when you start seeing these cracks, it broke my heart. And I was like, no. And then when it was Barb, because you see that hope in his face, like, come on, set them straight, set them straight, only to get the utter betrayal, because she's the one that says, what if we drop the bomb?
Girl,
That
man.
I was like, girl, how could you? Like, because you look at her, you see, oh, she's just trying to do the best for her family. She can't, like, she's probably just part of the cogwheel. She's not that. No, she fucking was the one that said it, not the other corporations, not Bud, not Bud's Bud. She said it. And it's like, are you kidding me? And of course, like, we see Hank, but I think people also like go over it. But the secretary, that's Betty. And it's like, oh my God. It's like all this stuff. I gotta say though, the makeup they did for Hank to make him look younger didn't work. He still looked like an old man with a really weird toupee. Not gonna lie. But that was a little, I was kind of like, oh, come on, you could have done like some like, Star Wars shit that could have like, but
They ran out of money.
I know they
A
ran out of money
budget.
on, I know they ran a bunch on Coop, so, but no, but everything like leading up, I'm like this, it's like we're starting to get these revelations. Now we find out, like I said, who the true monsters are. We knew that Voltec was already like kind of sus since the beginning. Like, when something looks too good to be true, it is too good to be true. So the fact, and it's also like kind of jarring how realistic it is pertaining to our situation now. Our country is basically run by these corporations. I don't doubt that these meetings of like to plan these out, these are not happening. I don't doubt that. I'm pretty sure they're somewhere in like middle of nowhere, or like, in the, I don't know, somewhere in LA. There's probably a group of like head of corporations planning, oh, we're gonna screw this up this time, so they're gonna do this. And it's like ridiculous. It's so scary how this is so realistic to us at this point. We're not far from that. We're not far. Like, I wouldn't doubt the government, like, or like, Apple, or not Apple, Amazon dropping bombs on us to like start shit. Not gonna lie.
2-day free shipping.
Oh
Hi,
God.
we'll offer you 2-day free shipping if you can push the button. How about that?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, I adore this. I love how everything we're getting so much out of this. We're finally finding out about the whole cryo thing. I love how they brought out the cryo thing. That's what happens in Fallout 4. I love the little brain on the Roomba, because you see that in Fallout 4 too. There's a vault of like rich people that turn that wanted to be immortal, so they like put their brains into robots, and there was a murder mystery with that one. That was a fun quest. But yeah, no, I adore it, and I love how, like, finally we're seeing Coop. We're not seeing the ghoul. We're seeing Coop both pre and post. Because at this point, we're definitely like, it's not just the ghoul anymore. This is Coop. This is Coop, and this is just like, yeah, it's not. We don't. We're not questioning why he turned out this way. We're seeing now. He got like the dude. Fuck, I could be a better stepmom to Janie than her mom was. I'm like, he needs a better, like, second wife. It's like, damn. Yeah, that's my spiel.
No, I think the whole story arc and especially with him leading up to the battle and everything that's going on, I think we get an explanation of why he's like shit. Like this is why I am the way that I am, right? Let's go to you, Ren. What did you think about overall Coop story arc between 7 and half of 8? What did you think about everything leading up to that?
Damn, he needs a good divorce lawyer, because
Apparently he didn't, because he had to pay alimony
No,
in the first one.
yeah, I'm like, what do you mean? Listen, she was suspicious to me when she mentioned, oh yeah, animals are not allowed. You can't bring the dog. I'm like, oh no. Red flag. Red flag right there. It was nice to see how first you are introduced to the ghoul. I mean, like, technically, officially, you first are introduced to Cooper and then the
The
ghoul.
party.
And for a very long time, it's like, Cooper, ghoul, Cooper, ghoul. And then finally, in the last two episodes, it comes together. Like, he is neither or. This is who he is now. His story is very sad. I was like, oh, I think Lucy will be my favorite character. She seems quirky and cute. Nope, it was Cooper. Like, I'm here for Cooper. I'm here for dog meat. And the fact that they took a character that could have easily been like a villain-esque, not worthy of like appreciation or whatever, I made him not lovable, but understandable.
He's relatable,
He's very
honestly.
relatable. Like, how would you feel finding out that your wife is the one who said, "We are bombing America"?
The America that
Like,
he fought for too in the Alaskan War.
he fought
Yeah,
that
he's a
war.
veteran, yeah.
What PTSD he had to suffer through. I mean, like, he went through a lot. And then she's like, "We're gonna do this now." Like, dude, your man literally could have died in the war. And like, I feel like the expectation was that Buds was gonna be the main one who's like, "I'm the one leading Vol-Tec." But I like how they switched it. It's like, no, she is the one who made the ultimate suggestion. I'm like, we don't get female villains often. Rarely are they well written. And I feel like she was well written enough that for a while it was kind of like, oh, I'm a cheer for her. She was there for the baby, for him. And then it's just damn, right in the face.
We got betrayed. We were coop.
We were all betrayed, like, damn. And what I loved at the end, though, like, it's a heartbreaking thing. He wants to look for his family, not just his daughter, her too. And, like, for me, that was like the most, that's like the saddest note that after that betrayal, after who knows how many years. Since they last spoke to each other, because we don't actually know when they stopped speaking to each other. He's like, I still need to find them. What happened to them? And that makes me wonder, did he, during those times that he was alive, he's like, what, 200 plus years, was he looking for them this whole time? Or did the idea of looking for them spark after finding Lucy?
Yeah, well, I do feel like in the first episode we get sort of a preview of the fact that like he's been in a grave for a long time, and like we get that sort of like, oh, like he takes body parts from him to do experiments, blah blah blah, and then we have the like rataways on his cross that are like in there. So I feel like he's been like kept at like death's door, if you will, for a ghoul for a long time. And then when that group came and revived him, he was like, oh, like I'm gonna fuck shit up. And then that's when he did that.
But he was also a
I'm
bounty hunter, hunt
he what
bounty hunter previously.
yeah. And so I feel like if season two comes along, we might get a little bit more of that. Like, and like what, yeah, like, right, like what is the backstory between Ghoul Cooper rather than like the backstory between like Cooper before the bomb, like 2077. So that's definitely an interesting like point, right? Mikey, let's get to you before we get moving along. What did you think about Coop's story up until this point? And what did you think about Norm's discovery?
Wow. Well, heartbreaking story, right? That was what a gut punch. I felt like that throughout the whole series, like you kind of gravitate towards Coop. You like the character, but you're not sure why. This episode is why. You know, you always you could tell there's something in him. Like he's not just this badass bounty hunter, stone cold killer. There's some tragedy there. And when you find out what the tragedy is, it's far worse than anything I could have imagined. I mean, it was pretty shocking. The entire time, I kept hoping that there's a reason that he's looking for his family. Like maybe, you know, like his wife was caught up in something that she didn't know how to get out of or something, and she was kind of being forced to do these bad things. But when you find out that she's the one that essentially gave everybody the idea to drop the bombs, it's like you understand the you understand why Coop is the way Coop is now. I mean, it's not like the way he looks, like his the way his rotting corpse. It's like that's like an analogy of like what his soul must feel like right now. Like he was heartbroken. His family was taken away from him. His wife was not what he thought it was, what she was. Everything that he believed was just destroyed in this episode. And so I think that this is the episode, like every show has like an episode where it's like, oh yeah, that's why I'm watching this series. That's why I want to keep watching the series. And I think this is the episode that did it for me, because I want to find out what happens the rest of the way to like his wife. Where did she go? Where did the daughter go? And you just feel for Coop. You still care about Lucy. You still care about the other characters, but I think this is the one that solidifies that this is his show. And I think that the revelations in this episode, they're just too good. You know what I mean? They're just too good. They're like they really make it make the show what it is. And it's also the tension in this episode, like for Norm, I like the entire time that he was in 31, I was like, what the hell's gonna, like, who's gonna, is someone gonna catch him? Is someone something gonna happen to him there? I was on the edge of my seat, like waiting to see what happened with Norm. And when he finds it out, also this is an episode where like you find out that Norm is a lot deeper of a character than you realize. It's not just like the scared, like in the first episode, you think he's just kind of like the scared,
Annoying brother,
annoying brother.
yeah.
And like throughout the show, he really grew, and he really tried to find out the mystery of what was going on. In his own way, he was on his own journey, the same journey that Lucy was on. And he finds out what's going on, I mean, you feel for that character too. And I mean, the two of them, those siblings will never be the same, knowing what their father did and and how he
Paul
was
King,
influenced
sorry.
in the entire thing. It's wow. It was a good episode. It really got to me. And I thought those two, particularly those two characters, really advanced their story in this episode.
Okay, so let's try to address everything else that happened in what was going on. So we know that Norm's story ends basically with him getting trapped in a Vault 31, and he has to enter his dad's cryo in order for him to survive, because the brain Roomba basically locks him in to the vault. So that's Norm's end of the story. We see, okay, so addressing Lucy and Maximus, Lucy basically brings the head to Moldaver in the observatory. Moldaver is thankful, and she sees that her dad is in a cage. Moldaver basically gets the little chip that is inserted into the head, and we learn that that is the small cold fusion core that will basically power up the entire city. Maximus basically takes a fake head after the confrontation at the sort of like radio station with the Brotherhood. He takes a fake head to the Brotherhood. He is then confronted by the Elder, who basically learns and discovers that the head is fake, that Maximus has been lying the whole time, that he's been lying about what happened to the previous paladin and the previous thing. But his old friend comes and saves him and basically says, you need to spare him. Maximus then is confronted by the Elder and says that we need to create our own separate faction of the Brotherhood, that because the Brotherhood has lost its way, we need to create our own separate thing. And Maximus is like, okay, cool. And then basically they take the entire Brotherhood to the observatory, right? Switching over to Lucy, Lucy basically discovers that Moldaver knows more about her dad and about her mom, as we learn that Moldaver is basically keeping a ghoul at the table where they're entering. We're like, who's that? Like, oh my God, who is that? And then Moldaver basically reveals that the dad is a part of a larger organization We see sort of Coop's story sort of interact between this, and the fact that her dad basically was a part of this organization that planned the entire extinction of the human race, but with experimentation with the vaults, right? And that basically throws Lucy over the edge. She's having a, you can see it, she's having a mental health crisis. She's being told that her dad is basically, without telling her, killed her mom, right, with Shady Sands, and that her mom escaped, learned the truth, took the kids. Her dad came after her and basically took the kids and then basically bombed. Oh my God, what was the
Oh
dog up there?
no, she was crying, and my mom took like crying for me inside the house. So my mom here, oh, I'm here.
Oh,
Oh,
baby.
this is
Oh,
Bamboo. She's a little
Bamboo.
dumb, little dumb.
Oh.
Oh, okay, I'm right here. I'm right here. Oh my God,
Oh, that's
please, I'll help you,
hilarious.
but 还给你了。Here you go. Oh,
Okay.
oh,
I love
oh,
it. I love it. Yeah, so basically Lucy learns the truth of everything. Basically her dad is like, I did what I did because I tried to do the best for humanity. We get that whole like pedestal speech from somebody that works for a corporation. I wasn't buying it. I was like, I hope Lucy shoots the fuck out of him. And then the Brotherhood basically attacks the observatory. They obviously stood no chance because, as we know throughout the games and as we know throughout Fallout 4, the Brotherhood is the most military intact enforced freaking faction out of all of them. So they attack, they're killing everybody, they're annihilating everybody. Lucy basically decides that the best course of action is to give Moldavar the codes to open the cold fusion thing. As we progress, they basically Maximus ends up, so Coop shows up and he's like, oh, there's like
Yes.
a, yeah, like he's fucking amazing in this. And he basically takes out an entire room of like three freaking power armored individuals because there is a flaw in the power armor. And he does that and basically goes in. But before that, Maximus enters the room, frees Lucy's dad, and Lucy is like, oh no, he's the cause of all of it. He's the cause of Shady Sands. And as we know, Maximus was a kid when Shady Sands was bombed, and he's knocked out by Lucy's dad, who enters a power armor. And then Lucy wants to shoot the dad but doesn't do it. And basically Coop comes in to save the day and fucking grazes the dad with a shot. And then we get this interaction between Fan and somebody before the bombs drop. It is absolutely beautiful, amazing, 100% acting. I loved it. He's basically like, where the fuck is my family, right? And basically the dad fucking jets it. He's like, no, he leaves. And Coop basically convinces Lucy that she needs to come with him in order to meet one of the best lines in the film. Or do you want to come with me to meet my makers or to meet your makers, right? Because he basically says that there was a whole organization that can that designed Lucy's future before any of this happened. And then they leave. Moldavar comes back when Maximus gets sort of consciousness. She activates the cold fusion and it basically empowers the entirety of the Los Angeles, right? Like we can see it, it's the Los Angeles landscape. It's beautiful. We now know that the ghoul that was sitting at the table is Rose, who was, it's terrible, who was
R.I.P.
Norm. Yeah, fuck. It was Norm and fucking Lucy's mom. And Lucy shot her just to like get her out of her misery. So basically, Coop and Lucy leave individually. Maximus is there while Moldavar's basically like, yes, this is what we wanted. We got what we wanted, and then Moldavar dies. The Brotherhood comes in. Maximus is now declared the savior of sort of like the cause, right? And we get that. We get Lucy and Coop sort of towards the end of the episode coming out of an area with the dog with dog meat. They go off to learn about what's going on. The last scene that we get is Lucy's dad going into the wasteland, going into sort of like this weird post-apocalypse. What I don't know how to say it.
Post-apocalyptic.
Thank you. Post-apocalyptic town, which I assume and I think is the institution.
No, it's New Vegas.
It's New Vegas.
It's New Vegas.
So we get that, and then the whole entire series ends, right?
Oh.
I loved everything that came about this last episode because it gave us an explanation. It gave us fans that wanted sort of like a tie-in to all the games and all that stuff. It gave us all of that, and I loved it. Let's go to you, Ren, first. What did you think about this episode? What did you think about sort of like the ending of what was going on to this series?
I will say one of the character we don't talk about, and I think he might end up playing a little bit more of importance, is Dane. Because at one of the parts where Maximus is knocked unconscious, he's not around for like what happens with Coop and Lucy. He doesn't even know where the hell Lucy went. But Dane goes and's like, you killed her. You have to say you killed her. He's like, no, I didn't. But Dane's like, no, you did. He did it, guys. He says it to everyone in the room. You don't just do that for funsies. You don't just give the credit. Just the man was laying on the floor. You can clearly tell he probably did not pull whatever trigger.
Oh no, he was standing next to Moldaver when Dane came in.
Yeah, but like it's just too perfect of a like setup. And also the fact that Dane's like, I hurt myself, so I didn't have to be a squire. Now, like, what
Much about that.
other position would you want besides becoming a knight? Think of that. What other like positions of power? Because the knights are all about ambition. It doesn't have to be just to be a knight. Because a lot of Maximus' actions, I wouldn't say are driven purely through ambition, but they are driven. And he gets forgiven for everything that is wrong, but leads him to a goal. So what would be the, like, what else could happen between those two? I want to see, like, maybe Maximus sort of being like not the puppet, but sort of manipulated by someone that he thought was a dear friend. Maybe that's too dark, but I'm like, this is Fallout.
I think you're right on the track. I
Fallout's
think you're
hella
right on
dark.
track.
Oh, please.
Also, Lucy's mom and Moldaver, that
Definitely, they're
so gay.
definitely scissor sisters.
Oh, Scissor Sisters,
100%.
lesbians, lesbians.
She wouldn't have kept her if they
No.
weren't scissor.
No.
She was
And they're holding
nothing
hands at the
but
end too.
like dirt and bones. That she was barely like
Dude, she was like
she was
half
like this. She
melted.
loved
Yeah,
her. She
she
loved
was
her.
like,
She definitely loved her.
no, yeah, no.
But
Died
then
holding
like
hands.
but then the whole like we did it. I'm like,
Does she have a part in this whole plan
oh,
before
y'all
she
were
became a
fucking.
goal?
Y'all were
How
fucking.
much? How much does she have like in part of this plan?
I think if anything, she would have been not she wouldn't have been part of it, but she's the motivation, and
The
that's just
motivation, the
Yeah.
support system. And like, okay, Hank can fuck off too. Sorry. Hank and Barb could both fuck off. Like,
Bye.
those two, they can be married together because they won worst spouse award.
Yeah,
Well,
terrible.
management sucks all the way around. That's just the way it is.
It
Their
does. It
management, they
does.
suck. Yeah.
Is that you, America?
Let's go to you, Mikey. What did you think about these last sort of like tidbits in these in 7 and 8, how did you think it overall played out?
Well, I first of all, I just want to say I'm glad Ren brought that up because I was thinking the exact same thing. Not only that, but Dane basically saved Maximus when like he when Dane they confessed to hurting themselves. So it's like, oh, because Maximus was about to die. So what exactly, what better position are you in where if you are not the main person that the hero that saved everything, but you're the one that the hero owes a favor to. And that's where Dane is now. Maximus owes Dane a favor. So it's gonna make things really interesting between the two of them for the next few seasons or next season or whatever. So I thought that was a great little detail there. I thought the ending was great, lots of tension. I was a little confused. Did Moldaver she Moldaver activated the fusion core or the cold fusion machine, but Moldaver had to know that the Brotherhood would be in control of it, right? Or was that because she didn't try to shut it off at the very end? Like it, she just let it go,
True.
and now the Brotherhood has is in charge of this technology, this like amazing technology, and they basically control it. So I think that's something I'd like to see what the outcome of that is. It was really confusing to me on like, did she want that to happen, or is it just like something that she can, handle? She couldn't not handle, but like she couldn't, avoid. So it just happened to be that way. I thought the way that everything is like exposed and how Lucy finds out, oh, it was just perfect. Perfect. I love the way like, you just see it in her eyes, like the like I was saying before, like everything that she was raised to believe was a lie. And she's finding everything this whole show. It's a journey. Not only her, but her brother, they all find out that everything that they believed, the vaults, everything about it, like they were the next, saviors of humanity, they learned everything was a lie. And so it makes perfect sense that two of the people that were betrayed the most, which is Coop and Lucy, have to join together now and find out what's going on, or at least, fix what's happened. I thought that where it leaves Maximus is interesting. I kind of want to see where this goes. Like I said, he owes Dane a favor now. So he's definitely going to be someone of importance, of power. So we're going to see what happens with that. And I think that's going to be, I think, like, I'm going to take this guess that maybe the entire next season that Lucy and Maximus don't even, they're not even, their stories aren't even a cross. I think it's going to be two separate stories, Dane and the Brotherhood and what's going on there, the political machinations of what's going on there, and then the journey that Lucy and Coop take. And I'm excited for it. I'm just really excited for it. I thought this ending was amazing, and yeah, it got me really pumped up for the next series.
Same for me too, where I'm like, gosh, the last machinations of what's going on is just set up for like what's gonna happen in the second season and maybe the third. I know I sort of missed this, but Hugh redeemed quote that film and you're so punny for you.
Oh God.
I don't know if you can do that in the last sort
Okay.
of thing.
Quote. Okay. So, quote that film. It's like, oh God, thou shalt not get sidetracked by bullshit every goddamn time. And the you're so punny is, well, Hank thought that bombing Shady Shore, Shady, Shady, Shady Sands, Shady Sands
Shady
was gonna solve anything, but it really blew up in his face.
Sam.
I like it. That's great.
Okay. Oh my
Love it.
gosh.
Yes,
I
but
know it's not a
Yaya.
Coop one this time.
Oh my gosh. So like so surprised.
I know.
Okay. So what did you think about these last few machinations of these episodes? And what does it look like moving forward with Fallout?
Okay, so oh my God, everything. One, Coop coming in and shooting shooting the power armor.
Oh, that was so cool.
Oh.
Like, I know, like, and we had this before, like, because when he was asked, when we get the flashback with Coop talking to Bud about the power armor, be like, oh, because like Bud was all like, oh yeah, the power armor, da da da. He's all like, well, you're like the fault in it killed a lot of good men, and the fact that he uses that weakness again, like this time for his, like, it's like these two episodes just tie the knot so beautifully. Like every little tidbit we have previously in the previous episode, everything's just wrapped up in this beautiful little bow, and I'm just like, oof, especially with Coop. Especially with
Knew he was
Coop.
gonna go there.
I know. This, but like finding out about the whole Buds thing and the whole, like, it kind of like made me really uncomfortable because, you know, Hank in the first episode said to Lucy that, oh, you are the most important thing to me. But now I'm like thinking, is he saying that as his daughter or as a, an experiment? Like the fact that he dropped the bombs on Shady Sands was because his wife went against him and took a very crucial part of the experiment away from the vault, that he decided this was the right thing to do. Like, he sacrificed his wife just to get his kids back. So I'm like, does he love her as a daughter, as we thought that he was a loving father throughout the whole thing? Or does he sees does he sees see her? It's just merely like, you know, it's like a scientist sees, like, you know, the research. Like, it's like fucking crazy. And I'm just like, oh my God. Dude, like, of course, this, as both Mikey and Ren said, is that like this, it ends beautifully, but it also has so much questions. We're still left with a lot of questions. They didn't answer anything. Like, how is Moldover alive? Like, it's like, how is she alive? I'm like, I'm pretty sure she wouldn't be in a Vault-Tec vault because, you know, she was so adamantly against Vault-Tec. There's just so many little things. It's like, it's crazy. And we still have much more of Coop's story to like unveil. Like, we still have to see, like, we see, like, most right now we're assuming that Coop hearing the Barb saying to drop the bombs is the ignition for like the divorce, but we don't know for sure. This show has already like thrown us for a loop several times already, so I'm not even sure what to think anymore, but I'm loving it. And just
But he
like,
tried to save her.
yeah.
You
And then
did.
it's like, does he want to find his wife? I know he wants to find his daughter for, like, you know, probably his daughter, but the last time we see Janie is with Coop on the horse. How did Janie end up with Barb? Does he want to find Barb to reunite, or does he want revenge? Or is it just like over 200 years, your initial like motivation has morphed into a like obsession that you don't even know like the motivation for it anymore? There's just so many questions, but I adore it. What's gonna happen to the Cold Fusion now that the Brotherhood is here? Like, and it's just everything is beautiful, and it also leaves you enough questions that you're cr I'm craving for a season two. It's like probably not gonna get until next year, and I'm already like foaming at the mouth.
Fan
But
fiction.
right, and I'm like, ah. So I'm just like, oh, it's done beautifully, and I love how, like, you know, like Coop lets him go, and then you also, I was questioning whether it was done out of kindness, but we know there is motivation to that. You know, when you let like a wounded animal go back to its den, you follow it so you can find like a bit, like probably the rest of the stuff. But at the same time, could it be also Coop being like, there's Coop somehow Coop there? We don't know, and I'm loving it. And I love that, like, you know, we finally get like, you know, the Lucy with Coop, and now we again, it's all power. First time Lucy was traveling with Coop, she was a prisoner. This time they're traveling as equals. They're on the same level now, and I love that change in dynamic. Lucy is still Lucy. She has changed, she has learned, but she still has her like base foundation of Lucy and kindness and everything, but she still evolved. We still keep her. Coop, at the point we started having seen like his motivations, he got more humanized, he's more relatable. He's other like, if I wasn't biased, I would still pick Coop as my favorite character because he's the most deep, he has the most intricacies to him. And like now at the end of like the show, end of the season, like they're on equal levels, and I adore that. And if and legit the end, seeing New Vegas, when I saw that episode for like the ending, I screamed because I was like, oh my God, we're seeing New Vegas. Because we and it's such a huge thing because like we know this takes place in California, but we never got the new California, we never got the NCR. We never got any of that stuff that we see in Fallout New Vegas. But the fact that we finally see New Vegas, and this is like 20 years after Fallout New Vegas, I'm like, oh my God, as a Fallout player, I'm this hits all my buttons. It like scratches all my tingles. I'm like, it's okay, I'm sorry, but it's orgasmic.
Especially the
Absolutely.
nice little, like, if you played the Fallout games, you get the nice little skull at the end. And if you know, you know. And I'm like, yes, the thing that kept killing me in Fallout 4 is coming back. I had the worst luck with those guys, okay?
Legit, I'm so excited to see much more of like I want rat scorpions. I want to see like
Oh my God.
I
Yeah, more
want to
creatures.
Mile lurks. Oh my
Yeah.
God, it's just like
I
beautiful,
love it. Yeah.
adore it. It's perfect. You haven't watched it a
And we
while.
can find out what is the actual canon version ending of New Vegas.
That's true. We actually don't get a
Yeah.
because this will
Actual.
be the canon version of what happens now.
Yeah, because it's too. It was like it's your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my
I have
God.
to play New Vegas. I'm like going through Fallout 4 right now, and I'm like, this is amazing, but I have to
If you can
download New
play
Vegas.
Dead Money DLC, Dean Domino, who's also a ghoul, gorgeous.
All ghouls, all time.
Dude,
All
legit.
ghouls,
I told my
ghouls.
cousin when we were watching it, I'm like, he guessed my favorite character. He's like, is it a goddamn ghoul? And I'm like,
Wait. Yes. Yes,
maybe.
it is. Yeah.
They're like,
Oh my Lord. Well, we have covered so many things tonight. We have covered everything horny, sexual, and wonderful about these wonderful Fallout. I have to say, I enjoyed every aspect of this series. There was nothing that disappointed me. It was definitely entertaining to just sit and binge and watch. So if you haven't watched this, please do it. If you have, I hope you're definitely looking forward to season two and possibly season three if they renew. Shout out to my guests tonight, Mikey, Ren, and Yaya. Let's start with you, Yaya. Where can we find you on the socials?
Well, you can find me here on Twitch at My Hamachi, where I stream Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Though today it went to like 7:50. Honestly, we were playing Lethal Company. It was crazy. You can find me on YouTube at J Palace Yaya, where I make videos about Chinese history, culture, traditions, all that fun stuff. Or you can follow me on the socials, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff, either at J Palace Yaya or at My Hamachi.
We love it. And let's go to Ren. Where can we find you on the socials?
You can find my TikTok and Instagram under the same handle, ghost_ghostbrat. I'm not really that active on TikTok right now, but hopefully that changes. And you'll
Oh.
occasionally get a glimpse of this little guy.
Look at the kitty. Oh, I love it. I love it. And Mikey, where can we find you on these socials?
I'm at GripC47 on Instagram. That's basically all I usually use. And I just want to say I loved being on here with you, every one of you. It was great. This has made my Friday, and I love talking about this show with you. It
Oh
was great.
yay. Oh, we love it. We love having you. Please come on whenever you feel accustomed to. So thank you all again for tuning in. Be sure to join our Discord. Oh, sorry. You can find me on Instagram, City of Stars 13. Yeah, I scroll, but I also post funny stories and it's just awesome. But be sure to join our Discord to keep the conversation going as well. Please subscribe to all of our platforms. We are at Nomtalk Network. We love y'all. Tune into our next show, which is going to be Godzilla on Monday. Until then, I'm your host, Jordan, and I hope you have a nomorific evening. Bye, y'all.